This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success. Welcome back to Office Hours. It's an incredible show so far, and I have a great friend and also a mentor from afar. He's usually traveling the world. His career has varied from dropping out of high school at 16 to being an executive fellow at Harvard Business School, inspiring people on places like Shark Tank, mentor to Gary Vaynerchuk, and co-founder of VaynerMedia. He is a serial entrepreneur. He has worked in politics to help change our world. This is a guy who knows what that book behind him means, which is burn the boats. That means there is only one option, and that option is to be your best and pursue your potential. Matt Higgins, welcome to Office Hours.
Thanks for having me. It's good to see you, Dave.
It's great to see you, and thank you so much. I love having you on my shows because, like a box full of chocolates, you never know what you're going to get with Matt Higgins. He has so many varying talents, and his perspective is his perspective. And so looking at your book behind you, I have a different idea of burning the boats. And my idea of burning the boats is that when I was forced into a position of no other options, that's when it seemed I was forced to burn the boats. And I really respect people that can have a burn the boat philosophy when they're not in their basement or the basement doesn't have a basement. Do you think you have to be at the basement in order to have that vision of burning the boats, or can you be at the top of your game and have a burn the boats attitude?
I love that question. I was just at a military base yesterday, Picatinny Arsenal. And interesting to go back to a military base and talk about burn the boats, because it is first and foremost originally a military doctrine, right? It goes back to the beginning of recorded history. We all think it's attributed to Cortez in 1519, but he was a homicidal maniac, not somebody you want to emulate. But he took it from a guy named Tariq bin Ziyad. So anyone in the Muslim world will know Tariq from 711 AD. And actually, he probably took it from the Chinese, who had a battle in 206 BC. So the phrase Hofu Chenzhou, anyone in China will know what that means. It means effectively burn the boats, actually sink them. So it goes back to recorded history. But why I wrote the book is exactly what you just said, that the really why burn the boats is effective in a crisis situation is that it brings clarity, because it's literally do or die and you have no options. But the reality is we can work at conjuring the clarity of crisis decision making without needing a crisis. And I'm using the word boat as a metaphor for all the things that beckon us to retreat, metaphorically speaking, imposter syndrome, retreat, anxiety. For me, it was shame about being a high school dropout, not knowing which fork to use. I still don't know which fork to use. So lack of refinement. Is that what it is? I go to my wife, is that my water or is that their water? But my point being, so Dave, you know, I'm sure I do work on this. Like, I don't want to be a crisis junkie, because eventually I'll kill you, you know, in your 50s. And so I really try to, the whole purpose of the book is to appeal to people who don't feel like they're naturally risk takers and be able to mentor them on how to take risk without needing a crisis and without naturally being born that way.
Matt, I actually just followed you a few weeks ago, and I actually am on the hardcover of Burn the Boats. So I'm excited. And the reason why I actually bought the book was because of an Instagram post that you posted. It just caught my attention. It said, the people that give you advice, the gurus, they don't take their own advice. They're bad people that give advice. Also, I wrote the book to read the book. I got a tattoo to look at it and to read it. So I love that about it. Now, my question is, what's the best advice that you've ever gotten?
Oh, great question. And actually, first of all, thanks for bringing that up. One of the hard parts about writing this book is I feel like a total hypocrite, because I wake up every day really trying to follow it. And I wrote it to be like my accountability partner, one giant, very public group therapy session where I am reminding myself I need to burn the boats. And when you write a book and you're the burn the boats guy, like, damn, people really expect you to be all in. And then I got a tattoo, like practically a whole gang sleeve now with the Chinese characters that burn the boats on my right arm. So
it is like, is that every time you mess up and like go against it, you're like, oh, I gotta get some more.
No, honestly, I beat my, I'm like, you're such a hypocrite. Yeah. Now the voice in my head is this ruthless accountability partner. Before it was just slightly undermining. Now it's like abusive. But yeah, so I love that you're asking me, because I would say, am I allowed to curse here, Dave?
Or yeah, is this of course.
Like a family center?
No, it's Apple.
All right. So I asked Rick the shit out of this book because I got to work really hard. And one of the things that frustrates me when I see gurus being like, failure is good, and they always tend to put their troubles in the rearview mirror. It's like, we're, you know what I mean? I stumbled, but I'm totally fine now. And part of what I want to convey with my book is like, I am not fine. It is a daily battle that I got to work on. So I appreciate the question. Best advice I think I've ever gotten was by Peter Gruber, owner of the Warriors. And I was having a moment of indulgence. I'm usually pretty good about not being a victim. I really reject that mindset, but I was having a moment of feeling persecuted, and a very gruffy voice, he said, Matthew, be an agent in your own rescue. And I was like, oh yeah, right. Okay. The cavalry's not coming, and I have to be an agent in my own rescue. And I try to follow that advice all the time.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Right. Taking a look, I mean, obviously we get one sheets, right? And I knew probably about half of what you've done and even some of the things you're looking at doing. But at the same time, I look at this shiny object syndrome, right? Serial entrepreneurs, I struggle with this. It's like, I get to, oh man, let's go after that here. How do you end up finally deciding? Because I'm looking at politics, sports, media, all of these things. You would think they have nothing to do with each other. How do you pick?
Yeah, great question. I do think, while it looks a little bit incoherent from the outside looking in, there is a bridge from each thing to the next thing. I'm always asking myself, what's the highest and best use of Matt Higgins today? My time, energy, and resources. And it's because we're an amalgam of everything we've done before, every place we've been. So we evolve, little iterative creatures that we are. And so every time I finish something and I feel like I've achieved a new accomplishment or credential, accolade, I always ask, like, okay, what can I do now with it? You know, when you go on Shark Tank, and it's easy to think your whole life is going to change, but reality is nothing changes. Yeah. It's always on you. It's always on you to weaponize the thing that you did and to deploy it. So I'm always asking myself, what can I do now? And yet at the same time, I don't want to be a grasshopper like my 83-year-old partner. Don't be a grasshopper. In other words, don't jump from thing to thing. So I try to hold myself accountable to finish what I started, leave it in a good place. Because if you jump around too much, I don't know how you guys feel, but it starts eroding my self-esteem, because you leave a lot of disappointed people in your wake, a lot of half-finished projects. So how I decide is, number one, I believe the joy of living is really in the striving, the pursuit. So that's my personal philosophy. And two, I make sure that I finish things to my satisfaction before I move on to the next thing. And if I didn't and I want to take on more, well, then I'm going to have to stay up all night. I'm going to have to kill myself. And that's because that's the price of admission for me to do the next thing. And usually that forces me to winnow it down a little bit before I jump to the next. But the honest answer is, I'm constantly battling a degree of erosion of self-worth by doing too many things at one time and letting too many people down.
Mm. Thanks for being vulnerable with that, man. Appreciate that.
Really? No, thanks for the question. Yeah. Love these questions, guys. We should do so.
All right. I would love it. Yep. Marcus?
I'm in. Hey, when I come on the set, when I come on the set, I want the two middle seats so I can wear my nice jackets.
All right, good. Well, Mark has a lot of pressures on you right now.
I know. He said good question to everybody else. I know. I'm going to come up with something new.
We're in the boats, buddy.
I'm going all in. Here we go. Matt, I love the entrepreneurial journey. So, of course, I love Shark Tank. And I know all the entrepreneurs watching are going, hey, ask him about how to get on Shark Tank. But I actually want to help people. I want to help people think even bigger. How do you become a shark on Shark Tank?
That's, yeah, also a very good question. Yes. Let me tell
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I need.
Yeah, no. Well, I'll be honest. Like, it's funny. Maybe I'm the one guy who was a guest shark on Shark Tank that actually got the phone call inbound, but the phone call was not inbound. You know, I worked to get on Shark Tank. I wanted to be on Shark Tank. I bonded with my son over Shark Tank, and it was a dream, and it's a great way to telegraph to the world that you're a great investor. So the truth be told is that I worked at it. I have a great agent named Reed Bergman. You should call Reed. I love the idea of carpet bombing Reed's inbox right now. But the truth is, it started with somebody who believed in me. Actually, the first person who believed in me was Martha Stewart. We were on a panel together like 8 years ago, and we finished, and she's like, you know, you should be a shark. And I'm like, you think so, Mark? You think so, Mark? I could be a shark. And then that's, so number one, somebody believed in me, including my agent. And then two, I had to differentiate myself. And so, and I spent time with the producer of the show named Clay. The irony is I had spent so many years of my life trying to conceal my upbringing or feeling slightly less like unfinished, unrefined because of where I grew up and how I grew up. And yet when I met with Clay on the set of Sony Studios and I just went full vulnerability and transparency, told my whole story. It wasn't, you know, the Jets or the entrepreneurial career or everything I've done. It was growing up in that shoebox Roach Motel in Queens and having to overcome poverty, the story of my mother dying and what that had done to me in terms of my empathy that got me on Shark Tank. So I would say whatever it is that makes you unique and special is your path to getting on the show. And then, of course, becoming Elon Musk would also help. So one of those two paths would be great.
Matt, that authenticity, man, that's why people love you. So I just want to encourage you with that.
Yes.
Thank you.
I will agree with Matt. The only way to get on Shark Tank is to email Reed Bergman. DM Reed right now.
No, but like, so how about you appreciate, I mean, Reed got, he definitely got A-Rod or helped get A-Rod get on the show. He definitely had a role with one other guest shark, and then me, pretty good track record. So definitely email Reed Bergman.
Absolutely email him. And beyond what I love about Reed as well is that he is probably close to my age, but yet if you talk to him, you're thinking you're talking to an 85-year-old Jewish man in South Florida. Just his vernacular and vocabulary, it just brings me home. I want to call him Uncle Reed, even though he's probably a couple years younger than me. I feel the same way about Matt. Every time I get the opportunity to share information, read his book, whatever it is, communicate with him, the lessons and perspective is one that impacts so many people, including me. I love, Matt, your unique perspective and the optimism that you have through vulnerability and humility by making people feel it's okay that I got a lot of shit in my life, that I'm not okay, and that as long as I keep trying, that I can get to where I want to be or better. You're living proof of that, and I'm honored to call you a friend, someone who would wait for me 20 minutes just to get on this show. He absolutely is a friend. Thank you, Matt Higgins.
I would wait for you forever, Dave.
Thank you, my buddy. A virtual hug to him. Let's give a big round of applause. Yeah, well done, Matt Higgins.
All right, boys, thank you.
You're amazing.
Till next time.
Next time on Office Hours.